email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk. It's Tuesday, January the 15th, and it's my mum's birthday.
Aww.
So, happy birthday, mum.
What's her name? Not mum.
Yeah, it is.
Can't just be
No,
mum.
It is mum. It's definitely mum. I checked. She's 84.
She's
always been mum.
I know.
But her name is Betty.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Betty. Happy birthday. Yeah, and hello,
yeah.
Victor.
Yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, happy birthday, mum. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the absolutely lovely Jill Serkin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I enjoyed my show, Scoff and Quaff.
It was very good. Well done.
Played four tunes.
How are the squirrels?
Getting fatter by the minute.
It happens.
And I do think your plan is to get them like some sort of squirrel foie gras.
It happens. I'm sorry I had to put you right on this.
You know that the RSPCA have been on
Yeah, today. Yeah. No, but I had to put you right on this. You were spreading malicious rumours that you never see a fat squirrel, and it's just not true.
Well, you're force feeding them, Mr. Bunker.
Something like that.
And also, the Squirrel Preservation Society have been phoning, and they want to speak to you.
I'm a fully paid member of the Provisional Tufty Club, I'll have to have you know.
I can see your tail, very
yeah,
bushy.
Yeah, very good. Cool, well, we've got a packed show for you again today, but we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, so please do give us a call on 01303 874 998. If you're too shy to speak to Jules or myself on the phone, then you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk, but I have to warn you, we've got thousands of emails already.
Oodles.
Yeah, oodles and thousands and millions. Or you can tweet me, and that's the best way to get hold of us. You can tweet me at VanillaWeb and just ask for a shout out for your business or your charity or your organisation or your school or college or whatever you want to say, really. And we've had at least 10 tweets in already, and we've only been on the air 2 minutes, so there you go. And I will be reading those tweets out as we unfold on the show today. But we'd love to hear from you. Do join in and participate and all the rest of it.
Who's our sponsor?
Today's sponsor is Mindfulness at Work. And I need to tell you about that because they were actually going to be on the show today, but due to some very unfortunate circumstances, they can't be here, which is a real shame. And just to send our thoughts and best wishes to Louise and her family at this time. But just to let you know, Mindfulness at Work is a training program that until now has been almost the exclusive preserve of big corporates doing a training program.
What's it got to do with jam?
Sorry?
What's it got to do with jam?
Jam.
Preserve.
Dear, oh dear. Your jokes aren't even old, are they? And they're not that young. Dear, oh dear. Anyway, mindfulness, before I was interrupted by that bit of silliness. Mindfulness was is something that's delivered to large corporates. But the guys that run it have decided to run a local open program in Canterbury starting at the end of January, and the course will be running for 4 weeks. And you can find out all about the course by going to Mindfulness at the Eventbrite booking website. And the details for that are on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. So there is a link to the booking website on our website. And they've got a special offer. Anybody that books on the course within the next 24 hours will be entered into a draw to get a free place. So if you book within the next 24 hours, you could end up actually having it for free. But even if it's not for free, it's not a lot of money, and it really is good fun. And the course is one evening a week for 4 weeks, and it's running at Fruitworks, which is the hot desking hub in Canterbury, in Stour Street. And it's running there starting from the 30th of January.
That's just by Canterbury Whole Foods, isn't it?
It is indeed.
And on behind, the little cobbled
And
bit.
Behind the Abode Hotel. In the High Street.
You
so
did
Central
a
Canterbury.
Mindfulness workshop, didn't you?
I did indeed, yeah. And I found it very useful.
It's the only way I can bear to work with you.
Absolutely. I've been so much better since, haven't I?
Yes,
you have.
You've improved.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really enjoyed it. It was really cool. It's hard to describe. The best thing to do is go along and experience it. That's the best thing to do. So get along to the Mindfulness program. You can find out all about it by going to the fruitworks.co website as well. Or you can go to the Mindfulness website. But both of those are linked on the Kent Business Radio website. I think we'll do an email, Jules.
Getting Britain's young people into work. The Youth Contract is a package of support to help young unemployed people to prepare for work and find a job. One of the key elements is wage incentives worth up to £2,275 each for employers who recruit an 18 to a 24-year-old through Job Centre Plus or the Work Programme. This is a really good idea.
Yeah.
And these wage incentives are now available to 18 to 24-year-olds who have been claiming job seeker allowance, income support, or incapacity benefit for 6 months. And for an employer, what does this mean? The job should last for at least 26 weeks, for 16 hours or more per week, and the young person must be paid at least the national minimum wage. There's a part-time rate, which is £1,137.50, between 16 and 29 hours, and a full-time rate, which is £2,275 for 30 hours or more. The Job Centre Plus or work programme providers will work with you to identify employment opportunities and issue claim forms when an 18 to 24-year-old starts suitable employment. So they help you and support you through this. For small employees, with less than 50 employees, they may be able to claim a part payment earlier than 26 weeks. And wage incentives will be primarily available to private, voluntary and community sectors and social enterprise employers. So if you're interested in knowing more, you can go on a, there's no website actually, how odd. You need to contact a telephone number coming up here, so get, grab your pen, Tony March on 0777 935 6176, or go into your local Job Centre Plus office. There you are, so that's quite easy. And that sounds like a no-brainer to give somebody, get someone out of unemployment, and also to help you.
Yeah,
if you're
absolutely
running a business.
I was at a meeting at County Hall yesterday talking about such things. There's a lot of activity now in trying to encourage people back into work through apprenticeships and these various other work experience schemes. They're all good stuff, you know. I mean, we need to encourage young people into work. It's that simple.
Well, especially at that age, if they're not working, it's so demotivating. They just end up lolling around in bed, don't they? And
absolutely.
Eating and things.
One of the big issues is there's a lot of myths about the job market that just are not true.
Such as?
Not least of which, that there aren't any jobs.
Stop doing the dusting.
Yeah, because nothing could be further from the truth, actually.
There are jobs
there
around.
There are loads and loads of jobs. In fact, there are more people in employment now than ever in our history. There's 29.2 million people now in full-time employment in this country. There were 7.5 million jobs advertised on the internet alone in the last 12 months in the United Kingdom. So there's lots of work around. What a lot of the problem is it boils down into two or three different things.
Skills?
Is a lack of the skills to do it, so people aren't qualified or have the skills to do it. Some people just don't want to do it, you know, but you just got to face that. It's not as problematic as people make out, but there are a group of people that don't want to work. And there's also people that we pay not to work as well, which, you know, you can't blame them for. But you know, it's not worth them going to work because their benefits, they lose their benefits, which make them worse off. So that's understandable. But one of the biggest issues that I find working in that field is people don't know how to look for and apply for a job. It is really that simple.
Well, that seems very odd. You can
and
look in the back of a paper or go on.
Well, exactly. See,
go
you
to
don't.
Job centre.
That's not where they are anymore. That's entirely the problem. They look in the wrong place.
They're in Jobs and Kent.
They're on various internet sites, for the most part, yeah.
Can we mention Jobs in Kent?
You can mention Jobs in Kent if you want. You can mention whatever.
.co.uk?
Or you could even mention jobsinkent.com.
Are you .com?
Yeah.
I never knew that.
I've never looked for a job,
you see.
Well, I've got both, but it's jobsinkent.com. No, but it's not just my site. It's other sites like it and specialist sites. Mm. And that's where the vast majority of jobs are advertised these days. I mean, even the Job Centre put all their jobs online in any case. Mm. So it's actually an easy way of doing it. But it isn't just where you find the job ads. It's how you go about the application process. And so many people get that wrong.
But it's also having the confidence, isn't it, to turn up for an interview, to look the part, you know, get a clean, stop waving dust at me, Mr. Andrews, but get a clean shirt, presentation, you know.
Worse than that. I do lots of talks to people in schools and colleges and universities about work. And when I tell them this, they look at me in amazement and they go, no, they can't do that. Because the little trick that I let them into is when the HR manager receives your CV, guess what the very first thing they do with it is? They type your name into Google. No, they type your name into Google and they look at your Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
So and on your Facebook page is a picture of your bare backside and the fact that you were out partying and drank 19 vodkas last night and vomited on a policeman.
Yeah.
And
not a great...
And then they wonder why nobody bothers to respond to their job ad.
Mm.
And the minute you tell people that, they go, no, that's outrageous. Really?
It's there forever.
And people don't pay attention to what they put in the public domain any longer on Facebook primarily and Twitter and places like that. And it comes back to haunt them. And they don't even know. And that's, you know, one of those things. But anyway, enough of that. I like the idea.
The rant was from Mr. Andrews.
Yeah.
Very good.
Cool.
Who's tweeting? I can see your screen whizzing.
We've had loads of tweets. I'll just read out some general purpose tweets to start with. We've had Zoe Cairns.
Hello, Zoe.
Neville Gaunt, Louisa Felsted, Andy Setterfield at Great Chart, and Dawn Russell have all tweeted that they're listening in.
Oh.
So welcome, folks. We've had a tweet from Lenley's.
What are they saying?
They're saying, we'll be listening, and they haven't mentioned sofas or anything.
No, I think that's further down.
Have they sold them all?
Might be coming at 1:15.
Yeah. Anyway, so Lenley's are listening. They're girding their loins to start telling me what
they've
got to
tell me. That's Lenley's in Roper Road, Canterbury.
Is it really?
I do happen to know, because Dennis Brophy, head of beds, I was chatting to him, because you know I've got my head of beds. The bed head.
Hello, my name's Dennis, I'm head of beds.
I was chatting to him yesterday because I went in to talk to him about my eco carpet, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah, bottle tops.
Yeah, it is bottle tops.
Yeah.
And my dog pads in, muddy paws, and you just brush it off. It's fab.
Your dog works in Lenley's?
No, my dog comes into my eco carpet.
Oh, right, blimey.
Yeah, no, my dog doesn't work in Lenley's. And, she sleeps there.
Right, okay.
You know,
yeah,
by the bed.
We're following this.
On a little pink rug.
Yeah.
You'd have to go.
This is all making sense. Yeah.
So, I was talking to him about my eco carpet and that, and they've got a new bed, Paul Andrews, that's called the Devonshire.
Right.
Now, you know that you tried most of their beds.
Yeah.
In there. And, he's a bit like, he's like those three bears, you know, he gets in one and then he goes in another one. Then he goes to the cafe and gets a sandwich and takes it back to the bed. But the Vicespring, they've got the biggest range of Vicespring beds in the whole of Kent.
Okay.
But they've got this new one called the Devonshire, which is really nice.
I haven't tried that one.
£2,700. So you can get it on interest-free credit now for the year. So that works out about 12p a night if you have it for the next sort of, I don't know, 20 years. Right. You do the math.
Well, thank you for that, Jules.
Yeah, so go
I haven't
and try
that one.
Go and try the Devonshire.
Yeah, I'll get myself a roll and go and try it.
Tell Dennis I sent you.
Dennis, head of beds.
Yeah,
I will ask. When I go in, I'll say, I want Dennis over here on the head of beds.
There is a rather attractive Rebecca there as well, which you probably prefer.
What's her role in bed? No, I don't answer that. Just don't answer that.
She doesn't roll in bed.
I don't answer that.
She perches on the side.
Well, while we're on such frivolous topics,
yes.
I just said I'd mention as well my breakfast.
Oh, how many sausages?
Yeah, on the way over to the studio this morning, I popped into Jack and Vic's snacks bar.
These are both ladies, listener.
Yeah, next to the garage, and they did me an extra sausage in my sausage roll.
Did
so thank you,
you
girls, yeah. Yeah.
And he's wearing it, ladies, right now.
No, it was very nice. So pop along to Jack and Vic's snacks bar in Dymchurch if you're round here.
And we also gave you a mention on Scoff and Quaff, which is Scoff Quaff on Twitter. You can listen to that, Jack and Vic, on channelradio.co.uk later on.
Never heard of it. Anyway, a few more tweets. We've got Custard Bird tweeting. I'm sure we'll hear more from Custard Bird as the day unfolds. Not a lot, just that they're listening.
All right.
I'm only doing listening ones at the moment. Nobody's saying much.
I saw them saying, that John Nerden's on.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got to that one yet. Eke Media.
Ah, the lovely brand.
Lovely brand is on. And a new follower called P. Henri 51, who's from Tenterton, as it happens. P. Henri 51.
How do you spell that? A P and an Henri?
Yeah. How else would you spell it?
Well, it could have been P-double-E.
No, it was just the letter P. Henri 51.
I wonder if he's French.
Sorry?
I wonder if he's French. Henri. It's quite French, isn't it?
Possible.
Mais oui. Tell him your little French.
No.
Go on,
I end up doing that every week.
Yeah, tell him about your sound.
I got told off. I got told off by Christina last week, our guest last week.
She critiqued your French.
She critiqued my French.
Mensonge
et dans l'arbre.
You shouldn't have French ladies on your show because it does show up
I've got another French lady today.
Well, ask her.
Our fun guest.
Ask her about your song.
Where my monkey is.
Yeah.
She'll say it's up a tree pole, like it was last week.
How many years did you actually spend studying French?
Years.
And you only learned My Monkey's Up a Tree.
Yeah, but it's really useful.
But where does it get you?
Oh, it's so useful. Mm. In the middle of Paris, I tell you, it brings everything to a halt. You walk into a shop and you go, bonjour, ça va, mon singe est dans l'arbre. And they'll just stop and look at you. You get instant attention. It works every time.
It's a bit like my German. I can say, wer ist der Bahnhofstrasse?
Anyway, enough of that nonsense.
Yes, you're leading me astray.
Yeah, I've got an email to read here from ACCL Limited, who are the UK's premium data cabling specialists.
You know that we've frightened our guest now. He's looking terrified by this.
I'm not surprised. What a load of old waffle.
Mr. John Nurden.
Yeah. The Active Communications Company Limited, ACCL, are the leading supplier of voice data and fibre solutions in the United Kingdom. They have supplied network data cabling services to the corporate and domestic markets for 25 years. They are fully qualified engineers and they stand firmly in the upper echelons of European IT specialists. And as an organisation, they are driven, focused and customer facing. In the unregulated world of network data cabling, it pays to empower a trusted organisation, one that understands all elements of design, planning and implementation. So if you are looking for effective network data cabling systems to install in your business, then get in contact with Managing Director Wayne Connors, and you can find them at www.network-data-cabling.co.uk, and there is a link to ACCL on the Business Bunker website. But Tempest is fugiting, and do you know what we're going to do now?
I love it when you're Roman.
Do you know what we're going to do now?
Tunage?
We're going to have some tunage.
It's not Duffy, is it?
No.
Paul Weller?
No.
Give us a clue.
Bit of quo.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Hey, welcome back. That was a bit of status quo there, especially for Mr. John Nurden and his Wrinkly's band. Status quo with Caroline. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show our first guest on the telephone, Mata Baron, who was just telling me while we were off air that she is not in fact French, she's Spanish. Hi Mata, how are you?
Hello, very well, thank you.
Good, it's an absolute pleasure for you to join us, thank you so much. You're known as the Corporate Escape Coach.
Yep.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that and what that involves?
Well, it involves helping basically talented and disillusioned professionals who want to escape their corporate job and to find an alternative way of working where they feel much more fulfillment and passion on what they are doing.
Right. So you're taking people from a corporate environment and helping them to adjust to the world of working as freelancers, or?
Yes, I help them through the transition from being an employee to become self-employed.
Right.
With all the elements that this implies, basically. First is to create a plan to escape.
Right.
Because there is a lot of things that you need to take into account, like finances, what I am going to be doing next, how I'm going to leverage my skills in a way that I can make a living when I get out of my, you know, formal job.
Mm.
And then we create a plan of how you are going to succeed when you have done this jump. So basically, we look at your skills, at your talents. We look at what is going to be your niche, what is going to be your micro niche, your marketing message, how you are going to package your expertise, how you are going to price it, and basically help you to create the base of helping you to see how what you already have is very valuable. You just need to learn to bring it into the world in a different way by
okay.
working for yourself and starting your own business.
Okay, so you're kind of really doing a business plan for them and or helping them do a business plan, yeah?
No, it's not as, I would say, as boring as that, which is not the right word to say. We work with partners like accountants and solicitors who help on that part. That
right.
is not my what I am passionate about or my expertise. My expertise is really working on the mindset shift.
Okay, I understand.
Secure,
okay.
You know, because some professionals that we work with, normally there are 40-plus. That is our main passion and specialization.
Hmm.
They have been working for 20 or 30 years for an organization. And the way they think is very different from the way of thinking you need to have if you are an entrepreneur.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's getting them out of the way of thinking in a corporate style.
Yeah.
And with a corporate crutch to rely on and to start to think more entrepreneurially.
That's right. And they need to look at risk differently. They need to improve quite a bit about taking decisions. Understanding the full picture of running a business, and above all, having a clear picture of what they want to create, because the ultimate purpose is not to copy or recreate the same job they had for themselves, but to really create the business they are passionate about, and they can make a difference for themselves, their families, and their communities.
Right, okay. And how do you normally come across the people that want to enter this? Are these people that are just making a life choice because they've chosen to do this? Or is it, you know, due to redundancy or corporate failure? Because, I mean, at the moment, we're hearing a lot about, even this week alone, and it's only Tuesday, we've already lost Jessops and HMV from the high street. So there's a lot of corporate redundancy about. Is it a lot of people going through that, or is it people that have just decided to make a life choice?
There are two sides, because basically we work differently with two these demographics. Our ideal client is the client that is still working. So it's still having a paycheck, it has time on their side, and they have the time to plan their escape.
Right.
In the other hand, we work with people that basically they can't overnight without any job.
Right.
And then it's when we come across saying, okay, you can go to the traditional route to try to find another job, and at the same time, you can create an alternative plan of what will it look like if you actually were going into business for yourself.
Okay.
Because I am very passionate and I truly believe that self-employment is the future of work.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely 100% endorse that. And it has been for quite some time. And I'm going to have a little bit of a rant now. because the last government we had in this country implemented a ridiculous piece of legislation called IR35, which almost destroyed the self-employment market in one respect. We lost 400,000 businesses over that. And that was just ridiculous. But yeah.
Can I ask Maite something?
Yeah, of course you can.
Hi, Jules.
Hola, hola. First of all, whereabouts are you from in Spain? Where do you come from?
I come from Barcelona.
Oh, wow.
From Barcelona.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
I just wanted to ask you, because I've got a girlfriend who lives in Barcelona, who's a TEFL teacher, English for Foreign Language Students. And she wanted to be self-employed in Spain. And it's very, very expensive, isn't it, in Spain, in your country, to be self-employed. Am I right?
To be honest, I have been in the UK for 22 years.
Okay.
So probably I know much more about what is going on here.
You're living in the best place for that, because she found it prohibitively expensive to do. And, you know, thousands, we're talking thousands each month that you have to pay to be self-employed in Spain.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking and talking with people on Christmas. We were there with my husband on Christmas,
yeah,
and talking about that with people, and they are going to transition. And certainly here you can start becoming self-employed overnight.
Mm.
You just need a computer, basically, a working brain and some ideas, and you can start moving along. When in Spain, the bureaucracy is much more than it is in here.
Mm.
I mean, obviously here you need to decide if you are going to be, you know, sole trade or limited company. That is what I recommend to most people anyway. But it's quite different. The barriers to overcome are greater.
Right, thank you. I'll pass you back to Paul now. I was just interested in that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. But I do totally agree with you that the future of work is self-employment, micro-businesses, Soho's, small office, home office working, and other methods of working. And I'm actually involved in a business that runs community hot desking space.
All right, yes.
Yeah, so we have creative self-employed people that use our facilities when they, you know, need to interact with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I see that as a big growth part of the market too, that you're absolutely right that self-employment is the future. I know this is going to be a horrible question, and I'm sorry, but is there, when you're talking to potential clients that are moving into the world of self-employment, is there one thing that always strikes you as, you know, where you go, oh, not that one again? You know, the one mistake that people make, or the one thing that people overlook, or the one thing that they don't want to do?
Well, people always seem to find as a perfect excuse, I don't have £100,000 to start my business.
Right.
Which means that they don't understand at all how that works.
Hmm.
Because that may have been true, you know, in another generation. But today, with the technology that is available, that is even me, that I am technophobic, I am able to use, you can leverage your skills pretty easily, testing your ideas in the market pretty quickly, very cheaply, and not only locally, but globally.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, you have an idea, even if somebody in London doesn't like it, it doesn't really matter. As far as somebody in China or somebody in Singapore or somebody in France like it, you have a market.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I would call that BS, really.
Okay. And it strikes me also, and I'm asking this as a kind of question, although it sounds like a bit like a statement. It would strike me that people coming out of a corporate world, especially professional people that have been doing a professional job in a corporate environment, probably aren't too used to the sales process either.
They are not at all. That is quite of, I had created a corporate escape system where it's 8 steps to succeed beyond corporate.
Hmm.
And in one, we look at, obviously, what, first of all, you know, what are your strengths? We look at your mindset, including money mindset. It's a huge amount of limiting beliefs about money. So you need to clear, I always say, you need to clear the weeds in the garden in order to be able to put, fertile new seeds.
Hmm.
So we clear all the crap first, then we work on the foundations, and we look at that. And part of that is the marketing plan that you are creating and the sales process. So how you are going to attract people, how you are going to convert people in a way that is not selfishly, but just understanding there is people that have a need and you are the perfect match to be able to solve this, to find the solution they need.
Yeah, cool. Look, I think this is a fascinating subject, and I had a look at your website when I knew that you were coming on the show, and I thought there's some fantastic stuff on there, and it really excited me. Can you give our listeners a shout for your website so that people can know where to go to have a look?
Yes, certainly. It's www.maitebaron.com, which is MAITEVARON. And you can also download the two free chapters of Corporate Escape, The Rise of the New Entrepreneur, which we launched in November 2013.
Cool.
And it is the same web address, it's maitebaron.com/free. three chapters.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker. It's an absolutely fascinating subject. We wish you much power and success with it, because it, as you quite rightly say, it is the future. And and we will put a link to your website on our website. In fact, it's there already. So that if anybody listening in wants to follow up on this and find out more, they can go to your website and have a look. But for the moment, Mata, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me along.
Okay, and we'll talk to you again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, sure.
Hasta luego.
Okay, bye now, Jules.
Bye-bye. That's Mata Baron.
Hasta luego.
Yeah, I got your Spanish, thank you. The corporate escape coach. And do have a look at her website, Mata Baron, all one word, MaiteBaron.com. Fantastic. She is absolutely right. Self-employment and small businesses are the future. And we need to be doing much, much, much more to help people get into that area.
Yeah, I don't know whether the pensions thing that was released yesterday, that was supposed to be favourable in the early years for people that are self-employed, wasn't it?
Yeah. It is. I mean,
and mums that stay at home for a while, but only up to about 2017.
Yeah. There's so many ins and outs of things now, and rules keep changing all the time.
It's like the okey-cokey, isn't it?
It is a little bit like the okey-cokey, in fact.
And what happens if that's really what it's all about?
Yeah.
That's what worries me.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing about self-employment is that you get to control your own life, basically. Mm. That's the major thing.
Exactly. Have a nice lunch on a Friday afternoon.
Don't think that happens.
Yeah, I work really, really hard, and then I try and keep Friday afternoon for a business lunch.
But you have business lunch every day.
I try to, yeah.
Yeah.
And business breakfast.
Yeah, yeah. And a little business afternoon snifter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And a little pre-dinner cocktail business.
Exactly, yeah. And then you tweet me rubbish about 3 in the afternoon going, I'm on my third bottle, Paul. But it's a business lunch.
Yes, that's fine. It's PR, darling.
Yeah.
I got it when I watched Ab Fab, you see. That's why I thought that was the job for me.
Absolutely, yeah. Cool. We got thousands of emails, loads of tweets, and interesting guests still to come on the show, so we need to crack
Who's
on.
Who's tweeting?
Because Tempest is fugiting. I've had tweets from the Whitstable Stove Shop.
Hello.
And they are...
Cool, we need a wood burner, don't we?
Yeah, they said, can we have a shout out, please? We have wood burning stoves from just £249 installed. HETAS certificated.
Now that is a little shop. It's just opened up last year, and it's on the corner of Saddleton Road as you come down Borstal Hill.
Yeah, it's just on the right as you come into Whitstable, isn't it?
Yeah, and they've got a really nice selection there. So pop in and see them and say hi from the Business Bunker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who else?
Don't you know the name of the head of stoves?
No.
Okay.
I'll find out though.
Yeah, I would. So that's the Whitstable Stove Shop. We've also had Alistair from Taywell's Ice Cream.
Oh, hello, Alistair.
Yeah. He said, we're just putting the finishing touches to some South American flavours.
Oh.
Now, you're waiting for this.
Yeah.
And I misread this at first. Yeah.
Is it a Brazil nut?
No, it's cactus and penguin pepper.
What's a penguin?
Well, I thought it was a penguin.
No, that would be...
I've got penguin flavour. trying to capture the Falklands Island market.
Cacti and a penguin.
Yeah, pingu. No, it's cactus and penguin pepper.
Sounds and a bit prickly to me.
Yeah, and then they do margarita and dulce de leche and Mexico ice creams.
Mexico?
That's what it says.
Popsicle?
No, it says Mexico ice creams.
Lovely. I quite fancy the margarita one.
No.
I bet our last guest, our Fungus Mito, would join me for a margarita.
I bet she would.
Yeah, she would.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Alistair.
So that's Taywell Ice Cream, with their new range of South American flavoured ice creams. They've done all kinds of stuff. Do you remember they did a dog?
Yeah, well, we were talking about them today on Scoff and Quaff. Alistair's coming on the Scoff and Quaff show.
Good.
Do you know about the Scoff and Quaff show? It's
I've
live.
I've never heard of it.
Live every Tuesday. 11 to 12.
What station's that on then?
It's on channelradio.co.uk.
Blimey.
And you can listen again
I
on
Saturday.
I bet it's
Saturday. A tight production.
Yeah, I have a very irate producer at the
Do
moment.
You?
It's getting right on my nerves.
Is he?
Yeah.
Ah.
Keeps eating all the way through my show and making loud phone calls.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh dear. I'd sack him if I were you.
I know, I'm trying to get rid of him.
Okay.
Who else tweeted?
Selby Designs. Hi Paul, please can you do a shout out for Selby Designs? We offer planning, drawing and application services and CAD for businesses.
CAD so, design, yeah.
Yeah, computer aided design. Thank you, that's Selby Design. And Belinda Raitt, hi, if you get a chance, could you mention West Kent Networking
this evening at 6pm tonight in Tunbridge Wells, and there's a Twitter handle which is Team Mount Edgecombe, which I guess is where it is, is where the event is. And you can follow Belinda at queenb.belinda Twitter, or you can follow West Kent Networking at WK Networking or Team Mount Edgecombe. So that's 6pm tonight in Tunbridge Wells, West Kent Networking. And we've also had, we've got loads of new followers all of a sudden.
You're just like a pilgrim, aren't you?
Really? Am I? Go
or
on, explain.
Or are they the ones that follow?
I don't know. What are you trying to say?
Well, are you a disciple or a pilgrim? I've lost track.
No.
You know, the pilgrimage, and they follow people, don't they? Disciples, you know.
Disciples follow?
Yeah. Well, they're like disciples.
Pilgrims go on trips.
Yeah.
I've lost the plot
Something
on that
like
one.
That.
Yeah.
I thought you'd know.
Open another bottle. Yeah. You'll be all right.
Who else?
Oh, blimey.
I can see you scrolling up and down.
Yeah, well, there's hundreds of them.
Yeah, but you're picking and choosing. That's
yeah,
not
I
really
am.
Fair.
Well, the trouble is I've got to read them first, because they could be rude.
When
they could
I do Scott and Quaff show, I start at the beginning and I just... there's no favouritism in my show.
No, but I get loads and loads of tweets from really dodgy Russian ladies like that, and I can't read those
whose
out.
Whose fault is that?
Well, it's not my fault. I didn't know they were tracking me.
You can block them, you know.
I've also had the Whitstable Flower Company.
Ah, is that
listening.
Flour as in F-L-O-U-R or flour as in...
No, they're gluten-free. It's F-L-O-W-E-R.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. And they're a new follower for me as
they
well.
Are.
So Whitstable Flower Company are listening in for the first time.
Ready
so hello,
Valentine's
guys.
Day.
Absolutely, yeah.
If my new husband's listening.
Yeah. Nigel Whittaker has said hello.
Hello, Nigel.
Jamie O'Connell of Corporate Credit Control Solutions.
Hi, Jamie.
Has said hello. As have Breakfast Friends. They're a networking group, Breakfast Friends. Yeah, and Claire Penny. So that'll do for the moment with the tweets. There are still a dozen or so there.
Thousands.
But I want to do some more emails because we've got loads of emails and we've got another
guest
to talk to.
The fabulous John Nurden.
We have indeed, and we've got lots
to talk. Champing at the bit.
We've got lots to talk about with John, so we need to crack through this. ABC Network Breakfast Club is a network with a difference. We are happy for you to attend other network groups that we run, and we want you to stay with us because you want to. We don't charge you a joining fee. We don't make you give referrals. Your success is our success. Rule number one is there are no rules. And their next meeting dates are today in Maidstone, tomorrow, 16th of January in Gillingham, the 23rd of January in Gravesend, the 24th of January in Ashford, the 25th of January in Maidstone, and the 29th of January in Maidstone. The venues where they're held is the Maidstone one is held at the Hamlets Hotel and Restaurant in Aylesford. The Gravesend event is held at the Southern Valley Golf Club. And the Ashford one is held at the Hempstead Forest Golf Club in Golford Road, Cranbrook. So get along to that. And there's a website if you want to find out all about it, which is www.abcnetworks.co.uk. Do you want to do us an email?
Kent Invicta Chamber Business Awards 2013. If you're a business and you're listening, this is well worth entering for. Celebrating business excellence. If your business is doing well under the current difficult economic circumstances, why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award? Share your successes and get the recognition that you deserve by entering the Kent Invicta Chambers 2013 Awards. The winners will be announced at a gala dinner to be held at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge on the 13th of March of this year. Apply now and join us in promoting business excellence in Kent. There is a closing day, and that's the 12th of February, so get your skates on and enter for that, because even if you don't win, the publicity for that will be great because it will be in all the local papers and there'll be pictures and things, so worth going for that. The website is www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk, and then you go on to /s and things, Chamber Business, you'll find it there. Well worth entering, I would say.
As Jules quite rightly says, everything you hear on the show today, you will find on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website. It's all linked there under today's show, which is show number 106. And you can find everything that we've talked about and will talk about will be linked there. I've got one quick email I want to read here, which is Connectit Communications are a telecoms provider based in Kent and London. Are you a business based in Kent with a slow broadband speed? We've been having loads of broadband problems today. Would you like a guaranteed broadband speed of 6 to 18 megabytes?
Yes, I would.
I'd like a broadband that worked.
Yeah.
At any speed.
Yeah. Well, you had to go onto the little French one over the channel, didn't you? today.
Yeah, yeah. My broadband at home doesn't even reach 1 meg at the moment.
Mm.
But anyway, so would you like a guaranteed broadband speed of 6 to 18 megabyte? We can provide you with a cost-effective solution anywhere in Kent. Connect it, guaranteed to add value, and guaranteed to provide your business with cost-effective communication. If you want to find out more about that, you can email info@connect-it.co. You can go to their website, www.connect-it.co. So it's just .co, it's .co. Or you can phone them on 08456-885-122. That's 08456-885-122.
Mm.
Connect it, IT, high-speed broadband solutions.
Well, I'd be interested in that because I bought something called Airport Extreme.
All right.
Which was 200 smackaroonies, and it didn't make any difference. And Billy Dean came to try and fit it for me, and it was, and then he was rebounding it or something, whatever you're supposed to do. Do you know
rebinding
about
rebinding it? Yeah,
all that. And it didn't make any difference, so I'm marching back with it. And now I'm going to get those plug-in things.
I've got one of those plug-in things.
Does it help?
Mine's brilliant.
I need to get four, because you've got to find out about your ring mains and things as well, with your electric as well. Did you know that? I'm very geeky, aren't I? You do. You have to find out about
there were so many routes I could take.
I said ring main, not ring piece.
There were so many routes I could go with that. It was unbelievable. I've just bought one that doesn't...
Hang on, listen.
I just bought one that doesn't require electricity, because some of them just use the internal house wiring.
Yeah, that's what this, I was talking about.
Yeah, this is a Wi-Fi booster, and it was only 30 quid. And you just plug, what you do is you match it up, so you put it right next to your router to start with, so
yeah.
It syncs.
Yeah.
And then you put it anywhere in the house. You do have to plug it in,
yeah.
But it doesn't use the internal wire, and it uses Wi-Fi, it extends the range of the Wi-Fi.
What was it called?
It's a Huawei.
That's very Burns Night, isn't it?
Huawei. Mm. Huawei is Korean,
I've got quite a sad story, actually. I went into Staples looking at all these little plug-ins and all sorts of boosters and things like that. And I was asking his opinion, and he said to me, well, of course, you know, people come in here and they ask all our opinion and get all the advice from us, and then they go and buy it on the internet.
Obviously.
And that's what happened to Jessop's.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt awful, and I sort of skulked, and backed out the door.
And what's the catalogue number on Amazon?
I felt awful.
Why?
I did feel sorry for him. Because he's got a wife and kids and family to feed, and there I was.
Well, he needs to get an internet site in, doesn't he? Been the old shop.
Perhaps you will. Yeah. So I shall go and get one of those then.
Yeah. Mine works perfectly. It's brilliant. But I've got a Draytec router anyway, which is really powerful.
Yeah, I'm going to get a Draytec. So you think that's better than Airport Extreme?
Well, Airport Extreme is slightly different because it's an Apple Mac solution, isn't it? I've never used it, so I don't know. Okay, I've had Dennis on.
Dennis?
Yeah, Head of Beds.
Dennis Brophy?
Yeah, Head of Beds.
Hello, Lenley. Dennis.
Yeah. Thanks for the mention. Why don't you come out and try our Devonshire with Jules? I'm not going to bed with Jules, Dennis. You can forget that. There is no way. I'll come on my own, mate, and have a bounce on the bed. But yeah.
You can't bounce on them. You've got to have some decorum.
Well, you can
bounce on them if you want, but, you know, it's no point
in having a shop if you can't bounce on the beds, is there?
It's a handmade vice spring.
Okay. Do you know what? We need to crack on,
because we've
got a million things to do.
We've been a bit mad today.
Yeah, yeah, you've just been a nightmare.
You know what it is? It's having John Nurden in.
Yeah, he's
a bad influence.
He has been a very bad
influence.
For a start,
he's bought the custard book.
Yeah, yeah.
Which always sets me off.
Yeah. I think what we're going to do is play a bit of tunage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a bit of an experiment, because we don't know if this tune is even going to play.
Yeah, this is a band that when I was PR at the Penny Theatre many moons ago, when it was a proper theatre, in Canterbury, this band were cracking, and they were a band called Jel, J-E-L, and John Nurden and myself, and they've got a big fan base in East Kent, and Sheppey especially. So this goes out to all the boys in Jel, and also to John Nurden, of course.
So we're going to give it a try. If it don't play, we'll play something else, but this is for John.
Tell me, is it serious?
The Business Bunker.
All the Blinding Menace, Joe. Yeah, that was lovely, wasn't
Did you
it?
Like
that
was it?
Really cool. I really like that.
What a perfect voice he's got as well.
Thank you. Oh, him. Yeah.
Him.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to have to do tonight, though? I'm going to have to go home, trawl through my Hootsuite for this guy in Belgium that was raving about them when I mentioned we were going to play them on air on the Scoff and Quaff show, that was.
Never heard of it.
And trawl through weeks of Hootsuite tweets to find this guy to tell him we played it and to listen.
Ah, cool.
No, not cool. It's going to take me forever.
That's good. Anyway, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Mr. John Nurden. John was the editor of, let me get this right, the Canterbury, Whitstable, Faversham, Herne Bay Times until very recently.
KRN.
KRN.
Kent Regional News.
Oh, right, okay. I see. I thought I'd never heard of KRN. I know Canterbury and Whitstable. I never heard of KRN. John, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I didn't realise just how deep the Business Bunker was, climbing down all those stairs to get down into the cellar, but it's brilliant.
I know, and the water dripping down the walls and the echoes and everything, I know.
And he's polished off about four cakes, Paul, since he's been here.
Yeah.
He's not at all nervous.
No, absolutely. No. No, no. Well, because our manacles that are on the wall have all rusted up anyway in the cold weather. But, John, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Interesting days, of course. Until very recently, the editor of all those august newspapers. And, of course, the newspaper business is kind of facing some challenges at the moment.
Yeah, challenges is the sort of management speak for big problems. And, it's interesting. Certainly, I was editor of those papers for coming up for 10 years and have seen changes going on afoot. And, you know, strange enough, whatever year you're in, you always think that the year before was sort of the golden year. And it just seemed to be getting more and more difficult. So it was a useful time for me to sort of bail out and do what that your first guest was saying about going off and becoming self-employed and seeking life outside the corporate sphere, which is absolutely brilliant. But back in the papers, what's happening, I think, is there is a almighty battle to keep printed newspaper financially secure. And it's against the internet, of course, as you were saying, with HMV and Jessop's and things like that. But I still believe passionately that there is absolute scope for both to work hand in hand. And you look at the big sort of online businesses like Amazon and like comparethemarket.com, and most of their advertising is in print or TV and radio. So they use one media to promote the other media.
Yeah, it's funny that you should say that, because as you know, all my businesses are digital, and in fact digital advertising spend has dropped just recently. It started to go down a little bit because that part of the market is also changing. You know, as time unfolds and people become more used to what they do, and one of the things about digital advertising is you can get a lot more feedback instantly in terms of what happens. People are changing their patterns of usage of that too. So, you know, it's not, you know, people doing digital stuff can't rest on their laurels either. They've got to up their game too.
No, but it's interesting because KRN, Kent Regional Newspapers, is or was part of the Daily Mail group. And if you look at that, Mail Online is one of the most popular.
90 million uniques a month. Unbelievable.
But the advertising income for that is, the last count was £28 million, which is a fair amount of money. But if you look at the Daily Mail group in general, its income was £300 million.
Yeah.
So that was coming from other sources, particularly sort of the print. So the digital side is still a young pup compared to it. But it's certainly working well. Because what Northcliffe have done is that they've actually... Northcliffe was the regional papers of the Daily Mail group.
Yep.
And what they've done is Daily Mail has kind of closed Northcliffe down and combined it with Trinity Mirror, which is sort of the other biggest sort of newspaper group in Britain. And this month, just a couple of weeks ago, they formed something called Local World, which is this huge complex of local newspapers. And they've got something like 16 dailies, I think, regional dailies, 36 paid fours, and 40 frees, which include in Kent the Folkestone Herald. They include all my former papers and the
Isle. So does that be the Thanet ones as well?
And the Isle of Thanet Gazette. So they're part of it. And what they're looking at is, because historically newspapers have been really slow at embracing the web. There are some sites which are really good that are actually sort of the exception which proves the rule. But by and large, newspaper sites are not the best in the world. And what Local World has done is they're going to readdress that. And I think what they're using is they want everything to go through their new look websites, and then they're going to pluck the best bits and put them and sort of reverse publish, I think the phrase is, back into the papers.
Right.
So you get the best of the pick for the papers. The only problem is, I was found, and what you said early on was right on the money, that the future is local, ultra local.
Mm.
And when you pick up a local paper, the worst complaint I dreaded was when somebody would come up to me in the street and say, I don't buy your paper because there's nothing in it.
Mm.
When there quite patently was something in it. Mm. But it wasn't something that the people wanted, because if you're in Whitstable, you don't necessarily want to read what's happening in Faversham.
Yeah.
But because of the economies of scale, you have to have what we call through pages, which go across. In my situation, they went across all four towns. So you're trying to pick articles on that which won't annoy the readers, but it is quite difficult.
Mm.
But you can also look at the really micro magazines, the parish magazines, which are usually read from cover to cover. They kind of look appalling, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you add up the small adverts for the local electrician, the local plumber, it's quite a reasonable income per month. And I always felt that, you know, that's probably, if we can go back to how it was, that's the way forward. You don't have to be a big corporate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you, John. That is absolutely on the button. The cost structure of a large corporate is huge, and therefore anything less than multiples of millions becomes unsustainable. But of course, you or I could run a local paper with £1 million income and be absolutely over the moon.
Yeah.
We would be absolutely beside ourselves with joy, because our cost structure would not be anything like theirs, and we would be making a lovely healthy profit out of not a huge amount of income relative. So I absolutely agree with you, and I don't think it's a fight between print and digital. I think it's a fight between big and small.
I think you're right. Absolutely. And it's going to be interesting to see what actually happens, because as the bigger papers sort of take over, then there is a threat, I suppose, that the owners will close down the smaller ones, the ones that are least profitable.
Yeah.
And they're not necessarily losing money, that they're just not making enough.
Yeah.
And we've seen that in Kent already. Yeah. The East Kent Gazette in Sittingbourne was closed down. The Sheffield Gazette was closed down. The Medway Times News was closed down.
Mm.
Even in Thanet, the Thanet Times has been closed down.
Mm.
And these are papers that had hundreds of years, well, certainly over 100 years of tradition.
Mm.
And I just feel that is so sad for a community that has been brought up with its own paper, and suddenly it gets taken away from them.
Mm.
And also, you look at sort of the demographics. The biggest increasing proportion of our population these days are the older people, you know, the 50 pluses, the 60 plus. And
unfortunately, that's us now.
I was just thinking, bloody old people. Oh, that's me.
But you often hear people, particularly politicians, complaining about that and say, well, you know, it's more pensions to pay out. So, irrespective of the fact that these people have paid in all through their working lives for national insurance.
Absolutely,
and that type of thing.
And don't forget that traditionally, more elderly people often left school at sort of 40. My dad left school at 13.
I was 14.
Yeah, so traditionally they left school much more. They didn't go to uni and things.
Mm.
No, but also, because that is the bigger population, and it's an increasing market, that is a market that also still likes reading a physical newspaper, doing their crossword, going through that. I mean, they're not anti-web by any means, but they do like working out a crossword. I much prefer doing a crossword in a printed paper than desperately trying to do something electronically on the digital. Yeah. And all the time you've got that increasing population, that potential market. If you give them what they want, as opposed to what you think they want, then you've got a market. Yeah. And
I'm as you're speaking there, I'm kind of thinking about my own patterns of behaviour. I think they are two quite different marketplaces now as well. If you do digital correctly, and I think what's going wrong is a lot of people, whether they were in the newspaper business or not beforehand, try to reproduce papers online. Mm. Yeah. And you see that with, certain software suppliers that give you a picture of a newspaper that you open, which is just ridiculous. It's just so ridiculous as to be unbelievable. My belief is though, is that the functions have separated. As a consumer of news, whether it's local, regional or national, and I consume all three, on digital stuff, I want to have my say. So digital for me at that level is all about instant feedback and, oh no, you're not, you're talking nonsense. So, you know, I'm the scourge of loads of journalists that print stuff, and then I print really rude things underneath their columns going, you're talking nonsense, you are. And that kind of interaction is only available digitally.
Not that you can still write into the letters page and annoy the editor.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. In the past, a newspaper fulfilled that role on both counts. What I'm saying now is, if people want to have a row, yeah, you're going to go online because it's much easier. It's instant, and you can have a, oh no, it's not, oh yes, it is type of row. You can't do that in letters. So my point is that I think a printed newspaper can carve itself a niche that is slightly different to how it used to be. It's more of I see it more as a piece of leisure entertainment.
Yeah, I think it's got two sources, and I think Lord Reith, when he created the BBC, had it right, where you inform and you entertain, and I think that's what a good newspaper should do. It should be able to entertain. It should be well written. You should be able to sit down and enjoy reading a feature about something that you didn't know. And also it needs to, okay, it can't compete with radio, TV and the internet on breaking news. That is for the web now, and absolutely perfectly so. But what a newspaper can do is it can set the agenda. It's reporters, it's journalists can go out to find out what is happening in the area, nationally as well as locally.
Well, it's interesting you say that, John. I'm wagging a finger at him again. It's interesting you say that, because at the very moment when we're losing local newspapers, in politics, there's a move to localism. You know, we've just had the first elections for police commissioners, and, you know, we're talking about more directly elected mayors and things like that. And without a vehicle like a local newspaper, that, to me, seems fairly pointless.
Yeah, absolutely true. Once again, and the difficulty is if I tell you the problems on the shop floor, as it were, the bigger companies have cut the number of journalists, so it's really difficult to get in, and there's lots of journalists who are out and about without a job. At the same time, it is more difficult to get local news into a paper. And I'll give you an example. It's the magistrates' courts, which all human life is there. That's what we want to read. We want to read about the neighbour next door who hasn't got his TV licence or even worse.
Or the
like
drug dealer growing cannabis in his back garden.
Yeah, without a TV licence.
Now, when I came into journalism 30-odd years ago, it's a long, long time, but one of my jobs, each town had its own magistrates' court, and it probably had, it sat one day. It sat one day a week, say a Thursday, and all the adults would come in there, and there'd be a juvenile court on another day. So you could send one reporter for one day, and you'd get all the information you needed for that week's paper. Now, a lot of the town's magistrates' courts have been closed down. So if I give you an example of Canterbury, Canterbury is now, it's two courts there. It's sitting 5 days a week. And it's also not just doing Canterbury, it's doing Whitstable, Herne Bay, Faversham, a little bit of Margate, and Ashford as well.
Right.
So the best in the world, you would need to send a reporter 5 days a week, and you wouldn't cover just your town's stories. You'd cover everything, so a lot of it would be wasted. So it's so difficult to do the coverage that used to happen. And also, don't get me on press officers, because they're, and I used to be one, and obviously a superb one. but there are ones that are really quite difficult to get round. And when I was starting, one of the jobs I had as a cub reporter was to go around to the local police station every day. And I'd go to the station sergeant, who would open what was the OB, the occurrence book, and he had everything that happened in the town. And he'd let us reporters look through it and say, yeah, you can do that, you can do that. Don't do that yet, because we're going to nab him a little bit later on. So come back after noon or something like that.
Well,
the detectives are just going to have their cup of coffee first, and then they're going to arrest them. So it's built up on a kind of trust, and it worked, because you knew what was happening. And also, when a new PC arrived, we'd probably do a little feature on him or her.
And
we'd grow up with them. So, I mean, the people that I did features of when they first started, a lot of them retired now, but they went on for chief inspectors, chief constables, which I still keep in touch with, because that's what you do. If you are a journalist now, it's really difficult to get hold of the police one-to-one, because there's that row of press officers behind, which are saying, no, you can't speak to them, or this is the perceived idea.
It's interesting. Leading on from that, I just wondered what your thoughts were on the whole Leveson issue and the inquiry and freedom of the press and regulation by politicians and all of that good stuff.
Well, again, what I was saying right at the beginning is, I used to speak to the police officers one-to-one, and that was fine. Under Leveson, there's some kind of, thou shalt not speak to anyone. You can't speak to nurses, you can't speak to the police, you can't speak to doctors. Where are journalists supposed to get their information from?
Absolutely.
And I just think, Leveson, it was a sort of a sledgehammer to crack a nut. I'm kind of happy that he came out with not doing anything by law. The bottom line is that something went terribly wrong with the News of the World.
Yeah.
You know, their journalist overstepped the mark. But and it really comes down to the editor.
Yeah. You know, but in all honesty, that was a criminal offence.
Yeah.
And they were found guilty of a criminal offence, and some of them have been jailed. And that's what the law's for.
Yeah. And so, you know, it was already covered. The editor's code of conduct, I don't know whether you've read it, but there are 16 points in the editor's code of conduct, which is basically saying, thou shalt not do this. Unless it's in public interest. And the NUJ, I'm a member of the National Union of Journalists, there are 12 points of conduct in the NUJ code of conduct. So if you're following that, you shouldn't go wrong. And the person who is policing it is the editor. Now, you know, the buck stops with the editor.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And if you overstep the mark, the law are called in, you go to it through due process, and if you did overstep the mark and you're found guilty, you're banged up.
That's right.
You know, we do seem to have this penchant for trying to introduce laws on top of laws. You know, it's like every time somebody gets hurt and everybody goes screaming off, well, you know, we must ban knitting needles or whatever the next thing is.
Or conkers.
Yeah, but nobody ever says, well, hold on a minute, it's already illegal to kill or hurt anyone. You don't need to say anymore, it is illegal anyway. And if it just required a law to stop it happening, nothing would ever go wrong, but that's not the way it is.
I've had a tweet here, sorry to interrupt, but it's for John. This is Donna Whitby of Inline Magazine. I think you've met her at the Lendy's tweet-up.
I have met her,
and Donna Whitby.
I know Donna, yeah.
Hi, Donna. She says, just listening to the Business Bunker, very, very interesting, John Nurden, for me at the moment, as I'm thinking about the future of print versus digital.
Right, okay.
You know, and there's Donna who does a lovely little magazine which goes out to all the villages around Canterbury. So thanks for that, Donna.
No, interesting stuff. We could talk about this forever. Unfortunately, we're fast running out of time. And I just need to mention the Wrinkleys.
Oh, do that. Do that. Yeah. Yes.
When are they next playing, John?
Oh, they're actually in March.
God, I can't wait that long. You have to get them in the studio.
You ought to explain, Jules, who the Wrinkleys are for our listener.
Well, John, you explain. Yeah. Because it's your band.
Like, I have a rock band of old rockers, but basically rockers that time forgot.
Right.
And we call ourselves the Wrinkleys, and we're having a ball of a time, absolutely.
Oh, brilliant.
I mean, the next public show we've got is in March, Mad March show at the Horsebridge Centre in Whitstable.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
But we did one at Club Chemistry in Canterbury just before Christmas. We did it for the Alzheimer's Society. We always almost forgot who we were doing it for.
Yeah, and they forgot all their words just in sympathy.
but we raised about sort of £1,200
for Pete Green,
brilliant.
Didn't it?
Brilliant, yeah.
So it was good. But it was, I have to admit, I've been trying to play the guitar since I was about 16 or 17 and failed miserably. And then the last time I was sort of self-employed, running my own company, like Jules was saying earlier on, I was able to sort of pencil in a me time,
right,
which was guitar lessons.
So instead of lunch, he does something constructive.
Yeah.
So I had guitar lessons with my neighbour then, with Dave Lambert, who was like lead guitarist with the Straubs. I don't know whether you...
Wow. Yeah, I remember the Straubs. Yeah.
Well, he showed some really good sort of licks and riffs and things like that. And I just thought, right, I really want to go and play with somebody as opposed to playing with myself in the bedroom, as it were.
Don't start.
Dennis Brophy in there.
Yeah, we're back to Lenley's beds now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because I was doing some work with the Canterbury ad scene, as it was then,
right.
A chap called Nick Davis phoned me up. He's a music teacher at Simon Langton Girls Grammar School at Canterbury. And he said, I've got this great idea. He said, I'm going to do a rock school, but I'm going to do it for older people because it's wasted on the young. They can, and it's true. If you go to a music shop, there's all these sort of postcards in the doorway saying bass guitarist needed 16 to 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
There's nothing for sort of 50 plus sort of mad people. So he organised this on a Saturday morning. And I wrote a little bit about it and then thought, I'll go along, I'll see what's happening with this. And that was a couple of years ago, and it's kind of developed, and we still rehearse at the school every Thursday evening. But over the over those sort of months, we've sort of coalesced into a band, a gigging band.
There's seven of you now, isn't there?
Oh, eight. It's gone. It's a kind of like...
They're breeding.
it's kind of like a Rolling Stone, because we do sort of... People come to the gigs and they... We obviously have a huge amount of fun on stage. We have more fun than musical content, I think. but people come along and say, oh, I'd really like to have a go at that. And we just say, well, come on then, join them. We've got this huge, superb harmonica player who's just moved down from somewhere up north. So we can't understand what he says, but he can play like a wild thing. And we've also got our lead singer. Is a chap called Colin Dawson, who you might have encountered, Paul. He used to be managing director of Dreamland Fun Park.
Oh, right, okay.
At Margate, and was also managing director at Chessington World of Adventures.
Right.
There's some classic video of him taking Princess Diana and the two princes round on sort of log flumes.
Oh, right. I remember pictures,
But his biggest claim to fame is that he used to be in The Who.
Right.
Or at least he was in the Detours, which were pre-High Numbers, which then went on to The Who. So he played with Roger Daltrey and John Entwistle and all that. And he's still got one of Roger Entwistle's original cast-off microphones. And it's all gaffer tape, because you know Daltrey sort of hurls the microphone the way around. So it's specially gaffered with gaffer tape, so the cable doesn't come off. And he insists on bringing it to all his shows and plugs it in. And it's just so much fun.
Oh, it sounds brilliant.
But you'll have to come and...
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, we're all going to descend on the horse bridge in Whitstable in March and form the Wrinkley's Groupie Club.
Wrinkley's Appreciation Club.
Get your tickets now. I'm just trying to think of the your Dave Lawson. What was the one of the songs that the Straubs did off the top of your head?
Part of the Union. I think that's.
Oh, yeah, don't get me, Part of the Union.
You can't get me.
He wasn't the brother of Paul McCartney, was he, that one?
No, that's Mike McGeer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was
that's
that?
Scaffold.
That was Scaffold. Yeah. Lily the Pink, yeah. Port.
John
Wick. Poor Jules, sorry.
I'm just trying to keep up.
Yeah.
Not John, as old as you two, is
yeah. it? John, we could talk about this forever. There's loads of stuff we could talk about. So we're going to get you back on the show. At the moment, we're kind of fast running out of time. But for the moment, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Stay for the last few minutes and join in with the rest of it. But we're going to get you back and chat through some more of this. And then we're all coming to the horse bridge in March to watch the Wrinkley's without any shadow of a doubt. We might even do an outside broadcast from there.
We definitely should. And we should, if you want to follow John, it's at John Nurden.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
N-U-R-D-E-N. Yeah. 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 Do that. For the moment, John, thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks very much, Paul. Thank you, George.
Brilliant. I've got a million tweets. We've got a gazillion emails and we've got like 14 minutes left. I had number 6 clinic. Be very grateful if you could mention the number 6 aesthetic and beauty clinic in Tunbridge Wells. You can ring us on 01-892-506-930 to make an appointment, or you can go to our website, which is number6clinic.co.uk. So that's number6clinic.co.uk. And I've got an email here that says, "Hi Paul, good afternoon. I wanted to ask if you could mention the next series of Going for Growth seminars for entrepreneurs on the Business Bunker show. The next one is Tuesday the 22nd of January, the Business Growth Strategies. Then there's Tuesday the 5th of February, External Sources of SME Funding. Tuesday the 19th of February, What's New in SME Finance. And Tuesday the 5th of March, Valuation of Early Stage SME Businesses. Tuesday the 19th of March, Building a Team to Enhance Enterprise Value. And then Tuesday the 9th of April, The Investment Process. Each event costs a paltry £75 plus VAT and is held at the FSE Group's Camberley headquarters just off Junction 4 of the M3, and it runs from 9:30 in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And you can find the full details of this at www.thefsegroup.com/events. I'll give you that again. www.thefsegroup, all one word, thefsegroup.com/events. There is a link to that website on our website, on Kent Business Bunker website, so do follow up. And that's from Paul Delahunty, who is the FSE Investor Network Manager.
Got one here from Trevor Bond, who was
never heard of him.
Previous
has he ever been on the radio?
On Scoff and Quaff. He's also been on Bunker, hasn't he?
He has indeed.
Lovely little Antipodean man.
I thought he was Australian.
he brought us some cakes today, so he's my favourite person. He's at the Dover Marina Hotel and Spa, and he just wanted to remind us that they have a Burns Night evening. It's the 25th of January, www.dovermarinahotel.co.uk for details. Burns Night, so get your kilts out, dust them off, and you won't need any knickers for that, so that's fine. If you're interested in an interest-free loan for your growth plans, did you just read this? You were talking about growths a minute ago. To support businesses with their expansion East Kent loan application, Kent Channel Chambers are running fortnightly one-to-one clinics across East Kent. So if you're thinking about applying for funding or are currently working on a full application, please book an appointment at one of our clinics. Free business advisor can provide you with free support and guidance. Clinics are scheduled for Dover, Wednesday the 9th and 23rd of January, Thanet, Thursday the 10th and 24th of January, Folkestone, Friday the 11th and 25th of January. You can contact Tracy Reynolds, hi there Tracy, on 01-303-270022, or you can email tracy.reynolds, R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, @kentchannelchamber.co.uk.
Cool, thank you for that. I've got some tweets here from Liz Astorowski.
Oh, yes.
Canterbury Veg Box. But I saw the tweet go through, And I can't find the first one again now, so I'm looking for it.
Something about that, Asian lemongrass.
Well, no, I've got the lemongrass one, but
not the one before.
No, there was obviously a tweet before it, and I can't find it now, because it says, we also have lemongrass at the moment too, if you're feeling a bit Asian.
Yeah, that's what I saw as well.
But there was one before it, but it seems to have disappeared, so I don't know.
I know what they do have that's coming up next week. This is Riverford Organic. If you remember, we had Farmer Guy Watson. He was Farmer of the Year on my Scoff and Quaff show.
Yeah.
You know the Scoff and Quaff show. It's every Tuesday at 11.
The famous Gilet outlet. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, we're not into Gilets now. We're into ponchos.
Oh, yeah.
Gilets are very last year, darling.
Oh, is it? A bit like Cool. Cool's very last year. We're now sweet.
You're sweet now.
Yeah.
But what they do have, Riverford, coming in your boxes is the blood orange from Sicilian. Very
Jim
good.
Lowe.
Full of nutrients.
Oh, blood orange. Not blood. Captain Blood.
What did you say?
Not Captain Blood.
No.
Blood orange.
Blood orange.
Okay.
Don't say that by John Nerdens here, because he'll get you walking the plank. Cause he does that Sheppy Pirate thing, doesn't he, where he gets people walking the plank.
Does he really?
You'll have to do that next year.
Oh, blimey.
Or this year.
Yeah, yeah. Whitstable Flower Company have tweeted again. They're on a roll now.
Have they?
Yeah. Thank you for the shout-out earlier from the Whitstable Flower Company. And a reminder to all men that the 14th of February shouldn't be taken lightly.
No. If my new husband's listening, I don't want those roses that, you know, they never really open up.
Does something happen then?
You have to chew your roses. Valentine's Day.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Chew your roses at the end.
Chew?
You chew the end, the stalk.
Why would you do that?
Didn't your mum teach you about all this? Betty?
No.
Didn't Betty teach you?
Why on earth would you chew the end of your roses?
Always chew the end so that they can get the water.
She'd eat anything, she would. Yeah.
I bet Linda knows about that, chewing the end of the roses, the stem.
What do you do that for?
You always chew
Keep them fresh?
Yeah. Ask them, flower. What are they called? Flower pots.
Mm.
Can you stop arranging yourself?
No, my headphone cable got stuck around my chair.
Honestly, never work with children, animals or...
Jules.
Paul Andrews.
I got in there before you.
Yeah.
ABC Network meeting for tradespeople. ABC Trades Counter. Many tradespeople do not attend networking meetings for several reasons, not least the fear of speaking to a group of perceived office people. So we have put together this group to help tradespeople make the most of all the networking benefits, to be held once a month on the last Friday at the Larkford Priory Hotel, that's in Maidstone area, at 6:30 a.m. The cost is £14, and that includes a full English breakfast. So if you are a self-employed tradesman, you know, plumber, electrician, painter, decorator, or anything, and you want to get into the networking, then ABC Trades Counter is the group for you, and you can book their first meeting, which is Friday the 25th of January, and you can book that by emailing them at info@abcnetworks.co.uk, or you can go to their website, which is www.abcnetworks.co.uk.
We've also got the Kent Business Tweet Up coming up. So this Thursday, it's at the Whitstable Hotel Continental. All details on kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. And the Lenleys one in Canterbury is the last Thursday of the month, 10 to 12. Very informal, free networking for businesses in and around the Kent
area. Bounce on a bed.
Bounce on a bed with Dennis, what's his name? Brophy.
That's the one.
And head of beds. Head of beds. I don't know why that amuses you so much. Why can't he be head of beds?
I just thought it was good.
I've
heard of bedheads, but not head of beds.
Head of beds.
Yeah.
Mm.
There you go.
Are you going to the Whitstable tweet up?
I don't know.
When is it? You just hang around. It's this Thursday, the 17th, 10 a.m. at the Hotel Continental. You just hang around in the beach cafe, don't you?
Yeah, although I haven't had breakfast in the beach cafe for a long time, actually.
All I can say is that when John Nerdens and I came into this green room on this side, there were rather a lot of cakes that I'd left from the Scoff and Quaff show from Trevor Bond, and John and I found only three left.
What happened to the rest of them?
Well, I suspect that they're under your jumper.
Really?
Yes, along with that free sausage that you got from Jack and Vic.
Yeah, it was nice.
What's the name of their van?
Jack and Vic Snacks.
Is that with an AX?
Of course.
Yeah, I thought
naturally,
it might be.
You couldn't do it any other way, could you?
No.
Jack and Vic Snacks fan.
Snacks.
Yeah. What's not to like? Right. Love is in the air. You can almost taste it. Tartlets and sweet fondant, tempura. The language of love is definitely on the menu this Valentine's Day, and nowhere more so than at HMS at the Abbey in Faversham. What?
I'm just saying it's quite familiar, this press release, to me.
Really?
Yeah. Carry on.
Is it one of yours? The restaurant, I won't read it then. If
so, you know. Well written.
The restaurant is, I was just thinking what a load of nonsense it was.
You were salivating. Go on, yeah. Love is in the air.
The restaurant is delivering an exquisite menu fit for a queen. The guys really have put their hearts into this one, says Hilda Marie Smith, a Cordon Bleu caterer with 25 years' experience, who opened the Abbey restaurant in autumn 2012. Whichever lucky lad or lady is wined and dined here on Valentine's will have a night to remember, that's for sure. The passionate menu includes tempura and sesame seed oysters, queen scallops, loin of venison, chocolate fondant and caramelised blood orange tartlets. Blimey, sounds like carnage, doesn't it? Sounds like a scene out of the trenches from the Somme.
Tartlets. Yeah. Loin. You get to throw it over your shoulder.
Yeah, yeah. To book your table, contact 01795-229-714. That's 01795-229-714. And the restaurant is open Fridays and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Flowers and artisan chocolates are available to order when booking.
Oh, you'll waddle out of there, won't you?
Yeah.
I've had a very funny tweet here from Chris Pollard, which is at Chris Connect something, because I haven't got my glasses on.
Connect IT, yeah.
He says to Jules Serkin, Jules, Paul clearly has a very stretchable jumper, clearly great cakes. You see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He can tell.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's because you told him.
Yeah. Have you got a web camera in here?
No. We are getting one, though.
Yeah, so we could have watched you scoffing.
Yeah. I've got an email here from Martin White.
Hello, Martin.
From identifying your business strengths to understanding your customers and creating the right business strategy to meet your objectives, Empowered Business uses proven business processes to work with you to create bespoke business development solutions that drive your business forward in the marketplace. For an informal discussion with Martin, you can contact him via Empowered Business, and they have just launched their brand new website, which is www.empoweredbusiness.co.uk, or you can phone Martin, who is a business consultant, on 07768 267515. That's 07768 267515, or go and look at their brand spanking gloriously new website, which is www.empoweredbusiness.co.uk.
He's a very clever chap, Martin, because he gave
indeed.
Me quite a bit of advice.
Jules, don't do it.
No, he just said stay in bed and don't bother working.
Absolutely, best advice I've ever heard. Go on then, do us another email then.
I'm sorry, I was just sending a tweet to someone.
Yeah, you're just organising your diary, aren't you?
Yeah, just finding out when I can have lunch.
Yeah.
East Kent Branch AGM, Thursday 24th of January. It's at 6:30 p.m. at the Minis Bar and Restaurant at the Parade in Birchington. Committee meeting is following at 7:30. It's an opportunity to elect and meet your new branch committee, who will be working on your behalf over the next 12 months. There's an agenda. It says click here. I love these press releases. Mm-hmm. So there is a website, which is FSBEAST, BEAST, Kent 240113, eventbrite.com. Engineering Manufacturing, the future in Kent. That's Monday the 4th of February, 3:30 to 7 at the East Marling Conference Station.
Marling.
They should put W in then. Kent Economic Board is hosting the event in partnership with Kent County Council. This meeting is in a series of meetings with the industry sectors we believe have the most potential to grow the Kent economy. I didn't read these virtually because John Nurden came, so I was chatting. Most importantly, we have created plenty of time to hear from you about what you believe should be happening in terms of driving investment, export issues, accessing finance, and tackling the requirement for skills, all of which will shape business development necessary in securing a prosperous future. You can go and find out about enrolling at the www.kebsectormeeting.eventbrite.co.uk, or you can ring Silvana Jones on 01622 221940. All details will be on the Business Bunker website after the show, and that's on the 4th of February.
Cool. Thank you for that. I just want to give another shout out for the mindfulness program. The Mindfulness at Work course begins at the end of January, and it's at Fruitworks Canterbury, and you can find out all about it at fruitworks.co/events/mindfulness, and that link is on the Kent Business website. And if you book within the next 24 hours, you will be entered into a draw to receive a free place.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No-brainer there.
Absolutely. Anyway, we've reached the end of the show, so it just leaves me to say thank you very much for listening to The Business Mugger Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Jill Serkin, and a massive thank you to our guests, Massa Baron, the corporate escape coach, and Mr. John Nurden, former editor of the Whitstable, Canterbury, Faversham, Herne Bay, and all
every time possible.
Yeah. Times newspapers.
And the writer of Nurden's Notebook.
Absolutely, yeah. And we never even discussed custard shortage in Whitstable. Yeah.
There's another story there.
So we're going to have John back on again very soon and continue this fantastic discussion. But for the moment, thank you so much for listening to The Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a fantastic week. We'll be back with you next week, and we'll see you all then.
There's one pecan pie.
Paul Andrews with The Business Bunker.